they had moved away and relocated to Missouri. And in the wake of the Michael Brown killing and the subsequent decision to not indict Officer Darren Wilson for Michael's murder, or killing rather, we didn't agree, to put it mildly. And I ultimately unfriended her, and we had a pretty tense exchange leading up to that. And looking back on it, as I was writing this book, I felt so embarrassed about it. And, you know, because I knew that she was trying to understand some things. And I think that in reading her Facebook post, she might have retreated into, you know, old ideas, because it's hard to change your identity. You know, it's not, you don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden, oh, I'm anti-racist. It takes a long time. And a lot of conversation, a lot of engagement. And I had forgotten that in that moment. You know, it was a highly charged and really a deeply personal moment, and a collectively challenging moment, if you were African American. And so I dismissed her, and I feel bad about it, because I ought to have taken that moment to stop and listen. And I should have taken the moment to ask more questions. My dear friend and colleague James Cohen taught me the quote, "You have to replace judgment with curiosity." And I judged her. And here I am, you know, the college professor who teaches about this, the social justice educator, et cetera, and, you know, someone who thought of himself as being racially enlightened and all that. But the reality was, in that moment, I sacrificed all that. But again, that tips the hat to, these are challenging and complex issues. But the thing is that they're supposed to be. You know, these ideas have been built up over time and over, again, centuries. So our collective national cultural identity isn't going to just change in 20, 30, 40, even 50 years. It's going to take a lot more than that. And it's going to take more folks stopping and recognizing, maybe the way I dealt with that was flawed. You know, maybe they have a point. You know, if you're sitting at home and you're seeing another report about officer-involved shootings, it's really easy to take the stereotype, well, they were resisting arrest, without going a step further and saying, well, it seems like we've had this problem for a very long time. What's the truth of it? You know, why is it that, you know, Black folks have this uncomfortable relationship with law enforcement? You know, what happened? And the funny thing is, my students and I talk about this from time to time, is that when you go back and you look at pretty much every urban uprising that happened after the 1950s, they're all directly related to the community's treatment by law enforcement.
Wow.
So whether or not you're talking about Watts in the 60s, Detroit in the 60s, all the way to LA in the 90s, to Baltimore in the 2010s, they're all directly related to long arguments and complaints and protest from local citizens about treatment by law enforcement. And that ends up just bubbling up and bubbling over. So again, there's a history there that we as a nation aren't connecting the dots to. And we need people to help others navigate through that, through those torrential waters. And in this instance with Tina, I just completely dropped the ball. So I'm willing to exercise my humility and show that, you know, I don't always do this right. I'm not perfect. I don't walk on water. And what I know is based on a combination of personal experiences and rigorous study and research over decades. So I'm trying to share what I've been able to learn about understanding race over the last 20, 30 years with everyone else, because I do understand that white folks have also been sold a bad bill of goods, you know? And now I think it's up for white folks to understand how non-white folks have been sold a bad bill of goods and come to some kind of resolution so that we can move forward.